Please join me in a prayer for understanding. Spirit of glory, Spirit of God, bless us with the word of life this day to restore, support, and strengthen us as we seek to be one with you. Amen. One of this morning's epistle readings is from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, selected verses. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Since that reading.
That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture because being weak is something I can do. Our second scripture this morning is from 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Listen again for the word of God. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To God be the power forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of God. For the people of God. You may not know this, but I accept sermon requests, and Jen will too. If you have something you'd like to hear a sermon about, and it would be applicable to more than just you, let us know. So that's what this one is about. That's why we have two epistle readings, and I'm off the lectionary. So the question that I got was, what right do I have to pray about my petty problems? Actually, pastors get asked this quite a bit, and the context of the question is important. Sometimes I get asked this in the context of irresponsibility. Is it okay for me to pray to get an A on a test when I didn't go to class and I didn't do the readings? Sometimes I get asked this when the problems being prayed about are anything but petty. What right do I have to pray to God about my cancer when there are millions of people in the world right now with cancer and millions more with other chronically disabling and even fatal diseases? Sometimes you get asked this question when the problems being prayed about truly are petty. Is it okay to pray to God about winning the lottery, curing my cold, losing 10 pounds? What right do I have to pray to God about my petty problems? I'm going to give a broad answer first, and then I'm going to hit some nuances later. There are some scriptures that suggests that our right to pray comes from righteousness. Proverbs 15:29 reads, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." James 5, verse 16 reads, "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." This suggests that we have no right to come before God in prayer except that we come with righteousness. Are you frightened yet? Are you wondering if you have the righteousness needed to give you that right to approach the God about petty problems or even about important ones? I said earlier, weakness is something I can do. I could be good at that. But righteousness? Maybe I get there occasionally. So let me resolve that question for you. By ourselves, we do not arrive at righteousness. We are not righteous by ourselves. We are sinners, but Jesus Christ has given us righteousness. When Jesus hung on the cross, our sins died with him. In our relationship with Christ, then we receive that righteousness. Our relationship with God has been healed. Nothing breaks that relationship anymore. Most of us were taught to end our prayers with, "In Jesus' name we pray, amen." But that is not just a sign-off. It's important. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, acknowledging that it is through him that we can come before God. What right do we have to pray about our petty problems? We now have the right that comes with perfect relationship. If you've been blessed with a great friend in your life, maybe it's your spouse, maybe a parent, maybe a colleague, then you know that a good friend wants to hear about your day. They want to hear about your problems, big and small. They want to hear about your joys, petty or enormous. God wants us as friends. Doesn't that sound weird? The Creator and Master of the universe wants you as a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. God yearns to have us communicate. God wants to hear about your day, your problems, your joys, petty or not so petty. Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. God loves us so much that God is willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to get us back in relationship. Your right to pray comes from righteousness. Your righteousness comes from God's love. I said I was going to do some more specifics later. Here they come. Is it appropriate to pray to pass a test when you didn't go to class and you didn't do the readings? We've all been there. No, of course it's not appropriate. But you can do it anyway. With a true friend, you can share what you're thinking, what you're wishing, without worrying about whether it's appropriate or not. You can share the most petty of problems. Starbucks forgot to put the shot of caramel syrup. And well, that was important to me because I'm having a rough day and that caramel macchiato was really going to be just a moment of solace. I have two secrets for you about God. Are you ready? Number one, God already knows what you're thinking. You're not keeping any secrets from the Lord. God knows if you didn't go to class. God knows about that affair you had a year ago. God knows that you enjoy spending time with one of your kids more than the others. The only question is, will you start a conversation with God about it? When you pray to God about these things, you're not spilling the beans. God will not stop loving you. God will not zap you for inappropriate requests. But God may begin a transformation in you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time, we read this morning. To come to God with the confession that you never went to class and never did the readings can be the beginning of humbling yourself. God can't do much with you if you're not spending time with God. But if you do spend time with the Lord, in all your inappropriateness, God will work a miracle in you. God may even exalt you in due time. So secret one, God already knows what you're thinking anyway. Secret two, God does not seem to have any problem saying no. We are allowed to ask. God's allowed to say no. Sometimes no is the most loving answer. Failing that test when you didn't do the reading, didn't go to class, might be just the ticket you need to turn your academic career around, maybe even your whole life. God will listen to our prayers. God will love. God will sometimes say no. What about when the problem you're praying about is not petty? When I get asked, what right do I have to pray to God about my cancer when there's millions of people in the world right now with cancer? My gut reaction is to worry about the self-esteem of the questioner. How could you have cancer and not know that it's important to God? Even deeper than that, the asking of this type of question is a questioning of the character of God. Something else we're also allowed to do. That's a good question. Is God really a personal and loving God who cares about me deeply? Or is God simply the classic watchmaker God who created a masterpiece and now has stepped back, maybe just kind of interestedly looking at the world? Wonder how long it'll keep ticking. Here again, the person of Jesus Christ is our answer. He is our living demonstration of God's personal love for us. If you try to fathom God's character apart from Jesus Christ, you maybe could come away with that watchmaker understanding of God. But once you have watched God walk around as a human being, heal the sick, forgive sinners, hang out with prostitutes, cast out demons, preach good news to the poor, lose his temper at overly judgmental religious leaders, and then die innocent on a cross, you will come away with the knowledge that God is a personal, loving God. And not just the knowledge, but you will come away with the knowledge of that God. You will know our personal, loving God. Your life, your problems, big and small, are important to God. Now, truthfully, a lot of people come to question God's character because they have prayed for something important like healing and they did not receive what they asked for. The temptation is to conclude that God doesn't care or that God's so busy with the problems of the whole universe that even a big problem to you is a petty problem to God. Sometimes, though, God's answer to prayer is a lot deeper and a lot richer than simply granting us what we ask for. Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. You ever have a thorn in your flesh? You ever get one barbed in your flesh and you can't quite get it out? I lived in Arizona. They have a lot of these. We even have a jumping cactus, which if you touch one thorn, it'll seem like half the cactus jumped off you, on you. Paul's thorn in the flesh is a metaphor, but it's a powerful one. And he doesn't tell us what it is, which on the one hand is a little frustrating. People have conjectured that Paul's thorn is everything from reflux to repressed homosexuality. But for Paul's purpose in sharing it with us, it's kind of nice he didn't tell us what it is. Because you can fill in the blank with your own struggle, your own thorn. The point is, Paul tells us he has prayed to be released from this thorn, and the thorn is still there. But that doesn't mean that Paul didn't get an answer to his prayer. God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Weakness is something I can do, something Paul could do. God's answer to Paul is that instead of removing this thorn, this temptation, this disease from Paul, God intends to use it to bring Paul closer to God's grace. God intends to use it, I think, to make Paul a better pastor. I make better hospital visits now because I have laid in some hospital beds and in some ICUs. Paul's thorn is a reminder that even though Paul is weak, the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for him. Who among us does not need to be knocked down a peg or two every now and again and then reminded that our lives and our eternal lives do not rely upon our own strength? About once a year, I get the order wrong while leading the Lord's Prayer in worship. I don't know if you noticed, but I did it last week. And it's a good reminder for me. Even the leader's going to get things wrong. It knocks me down a peg or two. We are reminded by the thorns in the flesh, by our own humility, by our own weakness, that our lives and our eternal lives are based on the grace of Jesus Christ. We are strong, we are righteous by the grace of God. And I think for me, without a few thorns in my life, I would forget that. I would say, "No thanks, God, doing fine here on my own, don't need you." Seemingly disappointing answers to prayer always need to be viewed in the light of what God has already done for us. God has already conquered the most horrible thing that could ever happen to us. God has defeated death. And we know that death lurks beneath us like jaws under that frightened swimmer. Who's old enough to remember the movie poster? Dunno. Dunno. We know something's out there. One day that shark will attack, and we know it will not ultimately win. So in light of what God has already done for us, I suppose every prayer concern we have is petty. Pray about them anyway. It's not so much about getting what you want. It's about starting, furthering, deepening our relationship with the ultimate lover of our soul. Amen?